of studies this afternoon in the Gospel of Mark. When you read the Bible, you find that the Bible is in two parts. There is what we call the Old Testament, which is the first two-thirds of the Bible. And then the latter one-third of the Bible we call the New Testament. And the New Testament begins with four books. And they are what we call the Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these four books, the Gospels, they basically record the life of Jesus Christ and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And the reason why there are four books given to the life of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus is because Christ is at the heart of the Christian faith. The whole of the Christian faith revolves around Christ, has Christ as its foundation, Christ as its purpose, Christ as its direction, and Christ as its destiny. Everything in the Christian life is around Christ. And if ever a Christian begins to lose his focus from Christ to other things, and no matter how good those other things are, we've actually lost focus. And that's why I wanted to study the Gospel of Mark. I like in my ministry to always have a series of studies in a gospel. So either on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening, I like to make sure that we are studying a gospel. For a number of months, we've been looking at Matthew's Gospel on Wednesday evenings, but on Sunday evenings, I thought we would do the Gospel of Mark. This afternoon, I want to look specifically at the first three verses. If you have it open in front of you, you'll find that helpful. And the first three verses of this gospel, they say, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, and he will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." What I want to do very simply this afternoon is to ask the question, what do these three verses teach us about Christ? This is a gospel that has been written about Christ. We're going to learn much about the person of Christ, the works of Christ, and the teachings of Christ. Well, here we are, the first three verses. What do they teach us about Christ? And I have three things for you from this passage about the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things that we will see from this passage. Excuse me. The first thing that I want us to notice, this passage teaches us that Christ is our gracious Savior. Christ is our gracious Savior. Let me just explain that word before I explain how I get this from this passage. The word gracious means that he gives us blessing where we don't deserve blessing, but actually deserve to be cursed and judged. That's what this word grace or gracious means. It's one of the most important words in the Bible. And what the Bible tells us is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, which is a world of sin. Now, however you view this world, and however positive your outlook may be on this world, you have to admit that this world is full of sin. There is much wrong in this world. You've only got to switch on the news and to hear what's happening in the world to know immediately that there is sin in this world, and indeed sin dominates life on earth. You hear about Afghanistan. You hear about events in this country. You hear about violence. You hear about all kinds of things that happen. And you have to admit, there is much sin here. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, came to this earth as a human being. He took on a human nature. And he came full of grace. He is the creator of this world. And he came to that which he had created. And when he came, he didn't come angry and judgmental and bitter and cursing people. That wasn't his attitude when he came. This is a world that has rebelled against him. This is a world that has sinned against him. This is a world that has offended him. And yet he came, and the Bible tells us this, he came full of grace. He's a gracious Savior. He's kind. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He's loving. His heart is filled with love and mercy. And he came to this world with a heart filled with love and grace, seeking to do good to all. The reason I say that is because of the first sentence in this passage. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That word gospel actually means good news. So we have here a man called Mark. And Mark one day picked up a pen or whatever writing implement he was using. And Mark began to write this book that we are reading. And Mark basically says to his readers, I have come to bring you good news. I'm writing a book that is full of good news. I'm giving you the gospel, good news. And the good news I'm telling you is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, what is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Well, it is what I've just been telling you. The good news is that God who has created us, God whom we have offended, God against whom we have sinned, God against whom we have rebelled, his heart is filled with mercy and love and kindness and grace and generosity. And when Jesus, our Creator, came to this world, there was good news. Because he came not to judge, not to curse, not to condemn, but to save. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in the Gospel of John. And it says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, it's speaking about God sending his Son into the world. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then it says, when God gave his Son, God did not send his Son into the world that he might come and condemn the world, that he might judge the world, that he might speak angry words, and he might cast everybody away. God, the Son, never came for that purpose. He came to save the world. So this is the gospel, this is the good news that we Christians preach. I stand here in front of you as a Christian preacher, and I say to you, I have good news for you. And the good news is that God is kind and merciful and gracious. And God has sent his Son Jesus into the world. And Jesus, who is God, has come into this world with a heart filled with love and mercy. And Jesus has come with a purpose to save sinners. And Jesus didn't just come with some grand purpose. Jesus actually fulfilled the purpose for which he came. Jesus actually saves sinners because that is what he came to do. You read on in the Gospel of Mark, and you read about his works, and you read towards the end of the Gospel of Mark, and you read about how men got hold of him, and they arrested him, and they tried him, and it was an unfair, unjust trial. And they condemned him to death, and they put him on a cross, and he died on that cross. Now this was all in the plans and purposes of God. This is what God had intended would happen. And the death of Jesus Christ is the greatest news this world has ever had. Because in dying on that cross, Jesus was saving sinners. We, by our sins, have incurred the penalty of God. We, by our sins, have come under the justice of God. It's rather like you break the law of this country and you're taken to court. And the judge reads out the charge and he says, you've done this and you know you've done it. And he says, there has to be a penalty that has to be paid. You may have a defense, but the fact of the matter is, you did do this and it was wrong and a penalty has to be paid. And God says the same. God says to us, you have sinned, a penalty has to be paid. And Jesus went to that cross and our sins were laid upon him. And Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. This is why it's called the gospel, good news. Because the good news is we can be forgiven our sins through faith in Jesus Christ. Not our works, faith in Jesus Christ. We can know a real hope of heaven, not through our works, faith in Jesus. Because Jesus died and Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus today is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, preparing his people for their eternal dwelling with him. I have good news for you if you're not a Christian here this evening. And I say to you, the good news is Christ came to save sinners. And Christ does save sinners. And all who believe in Jesus, all who have received him, all who have trusted in him, know the salvation of their souls. So the first thing that we find in this passage is that Christ is our gracious Savior. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second thing I notice in this passage is this, that Christ is the promised Savior. Christ is the promised Savior. You notice what Mark writes in verse 2. He begins verse 1 by saying, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then immediately in verse 2, he says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, this is something you find when you read the Gospels, particularly when you read Matthew and you read Mark, the first two Gospels. These two Gospels will frequently refer to what they call the prophets. And the prophets were people who were in the Old Testament. You remember I told you the first part of the Bible is the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, we have these men called prophets. And these prophets had written about Jesus. They had lived hundreds of years before Jesus came. He's quoting here one particular prophet, Isaiah. And he says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Now, Isaiah the prophet lived some 700 years before Jesus came. But when you read the prophecy of Isaiah, you find that it is full of Christ. Because the whole of the Old Testament was designed to prepare the way for Jesus. And the whole of the Old Testament was written to reveal Christ, that we might know him more. This is the beauty of the Bible. The Bible is essentially a revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. This is why God wrote the Bible. In writing the Bible, God was introducing his Son to us. And God was saying, I want you to know Jesus. Because to know Jesus means to have life. To know Jesus means to have salvation. To know Jesus means to have a real hope of heaven. I want you to know my Son. And in the Old Testament, we read about Jesus. We don't read about him by name. But we read about him in the prophecies that these men wrote. Or we look at lives that people lived in the Old Testament. When you read the Old Testament, you read about men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David and Solomon. All these people in the Old Testament. And when you look at their lives, you're actually reading about Jesus. You're reading about how Christ ministered to these people. You're reading about how Christ sustained these people, how Christ saved these people, and how Christ used these people, and how Christ was gracious to these people. In our Wednesday evening Bible studies, until recently, we've been looking at the life of Jacob. And it's been a wonderfully enriching study as we've looked at the book of Genesis and we've looked at this man Jacob. And we've seen the works of Jesus Christ in the life of Jacob. And we've seen how Christ saved him and how Christ then sustained him through various experiences. His daughter was raped and his son went missing. He thought his son has died. And he had all these trials in his life, and you find that he is being sustained, he's being upheld during these trials because Christ is with him. And you find that he develops and grows in his faith through all these trials. And when he leaves this earth, he blesses people as he leaves because God has been at work in him, developing his faith. You see the works of Christ in the life of Jacob. Now that's just one example. And the Bible in the Old Testament is always pointing us to Christ. And right from the beginning, God promised this. And God said, there will come a day when I will send my Son, and my Son will be the Savior of the world. And he will come with this express purpose to bring salvation to the lost. It was a promise he made in the Garden of Eden. Exactly when Adam and Eve fell, God came and uttered this promise and said, yes, disaster has come, but salvation will come. Because where sin abounded, grace abounds even more. And the whole of the Old Testament then is the preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. He is the promised Savior. This is wonderful news, you see, because it shows us that God is faithful to his word. There are all these prophecies in the Old Testament, and every one of them is fulfilled in Christ. There are prophecies about his birth. There are prophecies about his life. There are prophecies about his teaching. There are prophecies about his death. There are prophecies about his resurrection. There are prophecies about his kingdom. And they're all of them fulfilled in Christ. Not one of them will fall to the ground unfulfilled. God makes sure everything that he has promised is fulfilled. Christ is the promised Savior. I wonder if you know him. I wonder if you've ever come to know Jesus Christ. I wonder if you've ever heard about him and you've said to yourself, I want to know him and I want to be saved through him. Well, I want to tell you he is a wonderful Savior. Because God the Father has sent him, and God the Father in sending him has been faithful to all his promises. If you've never come to Jesus, can I commend him to you this afternoon? Can I say to you, he really is the Savior whom the Father has sent, and there is none other. I know it is the fashionable teaching of the world that heaven is like the mountaintop, and there are all these paths that go up to the mountaintop. And you can decide which path you want. Do you want Christianity? Do you want Islam? Do you want Buddhism? I know that is the teaching of the world. And I want to say to you, that is false. God in heaven has never promised anyone else except Jesus Christ. You read through the whole of the Old Testament. No other name comes up. No other character comes up. No other way is shown to us. God consistently, constantly, repeatedly points us to Jesus. And God says to us, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. This is the Savior of the world. Follow him. This is the one whom I have sent into the world for the salvation of sinners. Believe in him, receive him, and walk with him. If you have Jesus Christ, you have salvation. You have the forgiveness of sin. You have a place in heaven guaranteed. You have joy. You have God as your Father. And you have Christ as your Savior. If you don't have Jesus, you may have much in this world. But if you don't have Jesus, you really have nothing at all. You have no forgiveness of sin. Your sins are still upon you. You have no hope of heaven. You may have some wishful kind of ideas. I hope I'll make it. If you don't have Jesus, you won't make it. because Christ alone is the Savior whom God has sent. He is the gracious Savior who saves freely, and He is the promised Savior. And then the third thing that I notice in this passage, and it is this, that Christ is Lord and Savior. Christ is Lord and Savior. The reason I say this is because of the words that we read in verses 2 and 3. We have here a prophecy from the Old Testament. And this prophecy is about a man called John the Baptist. And this man, John the Baptist, came before Jesus. And you see there what it says, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Because this used to be the culture of the day. The king would decide to visit a certain area in his kingdom. He was there in his palace in the capital, and he would think to himself, well, there's a part of my kingdom that I've never visited or I haven't visited in a long time, and they've had a famine there. I think I'll make a visit there. Now, before the king went to visit that remote district of his kingdom, they would send messengers because the area had to be prepared for the king to come. So the messengers would go and the messengers would take this message, the king is coming, prepare the way. Make sure that the roads are flat and his horses and carriages can travel. And make sure that the people know that the king is coming, so that when he enters a town, they're lining the streets and cheering as he comes. We can't have the king coming into a town and nobody knew he was coming and he doesn't get a welcome. Because kings in those days always wanted a welcome, there to make sure that when they arrived, people felt somebody of significance had come. And so God says to his son, the Lord Jesus, I have sent my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. Because Christ is coming as king and as Lord. Now he came in total humility. He came as a man. He was born in a manger. He was in a poor family. But he is God. And he never stopped being God. And he is king. And all who receive him as their Savior, receive him as Lord and Savior. We never divide the two offices of Jesus. We never say, well, I have Jesus as my Savior. And I like the fact that he gives me forgiveness of my sin. And I like the fact that he guarantees me heaven. But I don't know if I want to obey him. I'm happy to have him as my Savior. And the Bible says we have no such option. If we come to follow Jesus, yes, we receive him as our Savior. And yes, we have the forgiveness of our sins through him. But we receive him as Lord and Savior. He is the one before whom the messenger came and said, the Lord is coming. The King is coming. A person of significance is coming. He is Lord and Savior. And all who receive him, yes, they are saved through faith in Jesus. And it is Jesus' works that save us. It is Jesus' works that give us forgiveness of sin. But Jesus then becomes Lord. And Jesus says, you give me your life. And you live your life according to my ways. And the person who says, I've received Jesus as my Savior. But I just love my sin. I want to cling on to my sin. I don't want to bother with fighting sin. I don't want to bother with all this holiness business. I just want to live my life as I am. I don't want people to challenge me about my sins. This is just the way I am, and I want to live my life as it is. You're actually denying Christ. Christ must have all of us because Christ gave all of himself to us. Christ must have our faith and Christ must have our trust, and Christ must have our life, and Christ must have our works, and our words, and our thoughts, and all our actions. We must live for the glory of Christ, not so that we may win heaven as a reward, but so that we may show we truly belong to Him. Are you a Christian this evening? Do you love Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior? Have you received Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior? Do you obey Christ, Lord and Savior? Do you examine your life? And do you say to yourself, there are things in my life that need to be put right? There are attitudes, there are words, there are bits of behavior that have never been right, and my conscience has never been clear, but I've never just wanted to deal with it. Do you say that to yourself? Well, I say to you, you must come to Christ, and you must ask Him to deal with everything that is there. He is Lord and Savior. So three things from those opening verses. Christ is our gracious Savior. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Christ is the promised Savior. All those prophecies in the Old Testament. And Christ is Lord and Savior. The forerunner went and brought the message, the King is coming. Do you know, my friends, it's the most wonderful thing to believe in Jesus. It's the most wonderful thing to be saved in Christ. It's the most wonderful thing to know that the love of God is upon you. And God your Father loves you. And Christ your Savior loves you. And the Holy Spirit brings the love of God into our hearts. And Christ is at work in you, preparing you for heaven, because He has gone ahead of you and prepared a place for you in heaven. If you've never been saved, I commend Christ to you. And I say to you, receive Him. Put your faith in Him, believe in Him, and walk with Him. And you will have joy in your life and a hope of heaven that cannot be shaken.